You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news. Victory Life Ministries welcomes you to our weekly broadcast, The Abundant Life, with teachers Al and Angie Burke. We are committed to emphasizing God's goodness and grace, as well as sharing biblical truths that will help you live a life of victory and peace. God's plan for you is to live above your circumstances, not beneath them. Understanding who you are in Christ, what you have in Him, and how to use what has been given to you will help you to overcome any trial you may be facing. Jesus' death on the cross was not in vain. He made a way for you to experience the abundant life He planned for you all along. Now, here's Al and Angie. Hi, this is Angie Burke, and welcome to the program. Today I'd like to teach on the finished works of Jesus Christ, and we're going to begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and have it more abundantly." So, let's look at the word abundant here, because I always like to look at the Greek definitions, the original meanings of these words. The word abundant was translated to be more than necessary, over and above, exceeding, much more than all, superior, extraordinary, uncommon, remarkable, and excellent. So he came, Jesus came to give us this kind of life. And I want you to examine your life and see if this is where you are at, if you are experiencing this abundant life. Many Christians are not, and there are reasons for that. Sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge. Sometimes you hear a message, but you don't believe it, so you just discard it. But this comes by revelation, to know what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. And this life is by faith. But there is a difference between living and life, as the Bible teaches. There's a difference to just getting by versus living the life Jesus died to give us. I was in New York recently, and I was in the back of a taxi cab, and the man started talking about his life, and he was very upset. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any girlfriends. He didn't have any friends. He told me he was working in this business for years, and there was nothing to show for it. And I felt sorry for this man, and he was just crying out and just upset and didn't know where to turn. He was lonely and he was sad and he was just getting by. And this man was just living, just surviving. So then I began to minister to him, telling him what Jesus had for him and how much Jesus loved him and never meant for him to live the life that he's living. And then I started speaking words of life into this man's situation, which gave him tremendous hope. So from living to life are two different things, and we want that true life. And let me tell you what the word life means. It's the state of one who is possessed of vitality, absolute fullness of life, a real, genuine, active, and vigorous life, blessed in every portion of life, who put their trust in Christ. This means to be free from sickness, discouragement, faintness, death, and poverty. And it also means to live prosperously and be restored to health, revived, quickened, refreshed, and restored. So this is not just being alive, this is true living, living a life full of purpose and meaning, living the abundant life. And this is the exact life that Jesus intended for us to have, every one of us. And this is exactly what was accomplished on the cross 2,000 years ago. So abundant life, in its simplest terms, means overflowing with all the good stuff. Now, most Christians, if not all, we all believe that Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Jesus himself said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So that's awesome. We know that our sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did. But what we don't know, or what much of the church does not realize, is that he died for much more than just forgiveness of sins. Now, forgiveness of sins is major, and it gets us to heaven, and we certainly needed that. But that's just the beginning. It's almost like God had to get the sin issue out of the way so that we could have abundant life here on this earth and be good witnesses to those who don't yet know Jesus. So we're going to go over what was exactly accomplished at that cross 2,000 years ago. Now, wherever you see in the New Testament the word save or saved, it translates to the Greek word sozo. And this Greek word sozo is an all-encompassing word for salvation. Sozo means saved, forgiveness. Sozo means we are delivered, protection. Sozo means healed or made whole, physically or emotionally, and sozo also means financial prosperity. So we're going to go over these very simply and briefly so we can have a better understanding of what you have if you belong to Jesus. The first thing is deliverance. Jesus died so we could be delivered. Well, many people would say, delivered from what? Well, delivered from all harm. Protection. Psalm 91 is a beautiful picture, and you all need to go read Psalm 91 and live by that and read it every day out loud. It's a beautiful picture of God's protection for us. But you see, we do not have to ask God to protect us because he already is. The problem is we don't believe it. And he not only protects us, but he protects anything that concerns us, such as our children, our families, our assets, and so forth. Every day I thank God that he is already protecting me and my family. And that's faith. I don't beg him. I don't plead with him. I don't ask him. I don't try to do five good things to get him to protect me in one situation. No, faith is believing God's word, and it says that he protects us. Let's look at Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. Now, one of the meanings here of the word encamp is to pitch a tent. So picture going camping with your family and you put up this tent. Well, you're going to stay there. You're not going anywhere until the trip is over. Now, our angels are not going anywhere. They tent around us and near us in every situation, and then they deliver us. But we will not see this protection manifest in our lives, or we will only to a small extent. But if we don't believe God will do it, we won't see the manifestation. And let me say this, what we don't believe, we don't expect to happen. I mean, can you agree with me on that? Our expecting has to be done on purpose, just like everything else. And the word of God is proof of what is ours. Secondly, we are delivered from the devil's hold on us or from any demonic activity in our lives. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus met a demon-possessed man with many demons. Jesus commanded the demons to leave, and they did. It says, "Then went the devils out of this man." Jesus was teaching his disciples that once they received the Holy Spirit, they too could deliver others from demons or demonic activity. More importantly, we've got to understand that Jesus wanted this man free, and he wants you free. Listen, the devil can come against us with so many things, but he is nothing as far as I'm concerned. He is a crushed and defeated foe, and he's not going to lie to me and tell me I'm sick and I'm in harm's way. He's not going to do that. Jesus wants me free from all that, and although Satan tries to get in there, he's not going to win. When Jesus hung on the cross, he yelled out, "It is finished." He meant that we are now free from all demonic bondage, all deception and lies from the enemy, all fear and worry, all anxiety and confusion and addictions, loneliness, pain, grief, and so on. Jesus bore it all for us. And all he's looking for are believers to believe it by faith. The next thing that we are promised that Jesus did on the cross is prosperity, financial prosperity. Jesus became poor so that we could become rich. Let's read 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." Now, the word rich here in the original Greek translates to have abundance in outward possessions, to be richly supplied, affluent in resources, so that you can be a blessing to all. Now, this is talking about money. Now, I agree with those who say that we are made rich in the beautiful character of the Lord. That is absolutely true. But this is not what this verse is talking about. It's referring to us being prosperous in money and possessions so that we can help others, so that, as the scriptures say, we can abound to every good work. And what that means is if somebody needs money for food, we can give them that money and not even feel like we did in our own lives. In other words, we're not going to be lacking because we're helping somebody else. We won't even feel it. Isn't that a place where you want to be? It is certainly a place where I want to be. Jesus died so that we could be financially secure and prosperous. And you know what else? He gave himself. Jesus had money, but he did without it for the sake of others. You know, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, that, and Jesus said this, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He gave it up so that we could be prosperous. After he died and rose again, that prosperity is now ours. You know, my husband and I attended a church in D.C. a couple of years back, and somebody told us to go to this church. It's the church that was supposed to take Jesus back, put Jesus back into Washington, and bring Christians all over and just minister throughout the streets. And they had good intentions and everything. And we walked into this huge, massive church. It was beautiful. And we sat down, and the church, they must have been 15,000 people in this church, and they had four services every Sunday. And the pastor got up and started ministering and telling those people that God wanted them poor. And honestly, that's word for word what he said. And his thinking was that God wants you poor so that you could rely on him and so that you could remain humble. And it saddened me to no end to hear this minister tell 15,000 people that God wants them poor and destitute where they can't even pay their light bill. And what saddened me even more was he had one standing ovation after another, and all those people walked out truly believing that God wanted them poor, and they have to be poor in order to be a good witness to a lost and dying world. Let me tell you something, church. Poverty does not bring glory to God. It doesn't show God's goodness at all. In fact, it keeps God out of the picture. Poverty is not God. But you know, I wasn't mad at this Pastor, I knew that he was just sincerely deceived and he had not yet got a revelation of the prosperity message, but I know that it will come someday because I've prayed for the man, and I'm sure others have too. But what saddens me is that he led many other people into his deception, and that happens a lot. But God is still on the throne, and if you can't get revelation one way, he'll give it to you another way. Praise the Lord. The next thing that Jesus died for is our physical healing. Now, this is an area that many people struggle with the most because most people think in the church, most people think that God gives you sickness or allows sickness either as a punishment for something you may have done or to teach you something. My husband broke his hip years ago and we received a phone call from a very nice lady and she said that Al broke his hip so that he could have some rest time to get closer to God. Now, my husband at that time could not have gotten any closer to God than he already was. And God doesn't do those things. If you don't want to get close to God, then you won't get close to God. He leaves it up to you, and he does not break our hips or break our bones or give us cancer to make us closer to him. If I thought God did that, I wouldn't be wanting to be closer to him. I would be further from him. So it doesn't make any sense. This is another big deception in the church. James 5:15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up." And the word save here, again, is that same word, sozo, which means physical healing. Acts chapter 3 is a very famous passage, and it's verses 1 to 9, and it tells the story of Peter and John going to the temple. And at the temple gate, they were asked by a certain lame man if they had any money. And so Peter fastened his eyes on the man, and he told him that he had no silver or gold, but he said, but what he did have, he would give to him. Peter had something. This man wanted healing, and Peter said, look, I've got healing. Now I'm going to give it to you. Peter already had that revelation that when Jesus died and rose again, he was given full healing. And what he had and what he was experiencing, he wanted to give to that man. Now, let's read verses 7 and 8. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Now, almost every sermon I've heard on this passage says that this was talking about a spiritual healing and that this is where the man became born again. Well, maybe the man did become a believer. I would become a believer if I couldn't walk 1 minute and then I was up walking. I'm sure he did get born again. But he was also 100% physically healed, which is the part a lot of people leave out. That's why he was walking and leaping. Something he could not have done before, he could do now. He was physically healed. Now, if we cannot believe that this man in God's word was physically healed, then how could we ever believe that we can be? Some people think God picks and chooses who he will heal. No, it was already done 2,000 years ago, and we have to figure out how to get it to work in our lives, and there is an answer. The word of God means what it says. This man was healed physically. And you know, what we don't understand is, according to God, sickness is a curse. In the book of Deuteronomy, God makes a distinction between blessings and curses, and sickness is listed under the curses. But according to Galatians 3:13, which, by the way, is after Jesus died and rose again, we have been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed from sickness and from disease and from poverty. And believe it or not, we've been redeemed from a hangnail. We've been redeemed from it all. Let's look at Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases." Notice, He forgives our sins and heals our diseases in the same sentence. They work together. They go hand in hand. Okay, so if you are a Christian, you get all these benefits. You get forgiveness and healing and prosperity and deliverance. It's all together. You know, people are not walking in divine health simply because they don't believe in what I just said, in the finished works of Jesus Christ. They believe they can be well sometime in the future, maybe if God's in a good mood, but they don't believe that they've already been made well, that it already happened. And the reason why is because they're sick. But the gospel is past tense in a way. Jesus took all of our sicknesses, so we don't have to experience any of them. If he took them, then I can't have them. If I took them, then he can't have them. So one of us has got to have them, and he took them, and so I don't have to suffer. Now, once we receive that revelation, that wow moment, wow, this is the real truth, once we receive it of his finished work, then we can begin to walk in all of these benefits. And you know, this was Paul's prayer in the first chapter of Ephesians, chapter 1. I'll read some of it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, Paul was saying, look, guys, you already have it. You already have everything that you could ever want or ever need. Now you need a revelation of it. Now you need God to really bring it to light and to show you what you've been given. He says that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened and that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. Listen, when Jesus Christ came in to live in your spirit and gave you a brand new spirit, everything that he is inside of you. Everything you need, the whole word of God is dwelling in your inner spirit man. And then it says, and I will pray that you will know the exceeding greatness of his power inside of you. Listen, we have power and authority inside of us that most of the church is just not using. Therefore, we're not seeing the benefits manifest in our lives. So Paul was praying that God's children would see their benefits, what their true inheritance was in him, including the physical healing. Now, after I said all this, I'm sure that you can understand why the gospel is called good news. It's good news to be forgiven and healed and delivered and protected and prosperous. And I cannot understand for the life of me, when I teach someone about healing or someone about prosperity, most people get mad. And the reason why they get mad is because it's not showing up in their life. So they discard the whole thing. But isn't it great news? Would you rather be poor or wealthy? Would you rather be sick or well? Which do you want? It's good news to be healed. It's good news to be prosperous. And there's ways to do it. God is not a hard God. So we just got to listen to him. And everything that he is inside of us. John 1:16 says, and his fullness have all we received. But the reason why we're not seeing this is, again, we back up to the beginning. One is a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 6 says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But then we also need to examine ourselves, church, because the next verse says, because they have rejected knowledge. Are you rejecting the word of God as a whole inside of your heart, or do you want to receive whatever it has in your heart and in your life? So examine yourself on that. So one reason is lack of knowledge. The next reason is unbelief. You may have heard all of this before, but you just choose to not believe it. Well, here's what happens. We are made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit man is brand new and it's got Jesus in there just waiting to come out. But your mind, will, and emotions, which is your soul, is getting in the way. Because we've been trained one way without the word of God. Now we have to get into the word, dig into the word, read the word, renew our minds so that we come into agreement with our spirit man. And when we do, and we're in sync, and we agree, then it can flow out through our physical body or through our lives. When I got hold of the fact that by his stripes I am healed. I was healed. I got excited. I started repeating that scripture over and over to get it inside of me. It was already in my spirit man. But I had to wrap my puny, carnal mind around something I was just not used to. But listen, God wants you free. He wants you to know the difference between spirit, soul, and body. Because when I first became a Christian, I thought it was all mixed up. I didn't know if God was mad at me if I sinned or happy with me when I didn't. I didn't know if I needed to work to please God. I didn't understand how I wasn't manifesting healing when the Bible says I was healed, but God must be mad at me inside because everything's all mixed up and disjointed, and I just didn't get it. But because I was a seeker, and you have to be a seeker of the word. Because I was a seeker, I looked and I dug deep into the word of God until I found my answer. And I'll never forget one day when I had this terrible strep throat and I said, I am not going to the doctors today. There's nothing wrong with doctors. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not going. I'm going to do this one by faith. And when I did that, I never had another strep throat hit me again. And I've been walking in divine health ever since. That's not to say that the devil doesn't come and try to put things on me, but I know by the power that is within me and because of the revelation that I had that I could stand up to that symptom and speak to it according to Mark 11:23 and get it out of my body before it takes root and grows into something that God never intended it to grow into. We're the ones that make sickness get worse because we don't take God at his word. And of course, you know, I am not trying to be hard on you. I mean, I learned this the hard way, and what I'm trying to do is help you to learn this the easy way, help you to get this revelation knowledge so you don't have to go through the world of hard knocks, trying to figure out and getting hit and knocked down and getting up. There's a certain amount of that we all have to go through, but I'm making this easy on you. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he died for everything, not just forgiveness of sins. And I just praise him today. I just thank him today. And I encourage you to be blessed. I encourage you to go to the scriptures. Be blessed, get healed, have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening today. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged, knowing that God is a good God and has only good things planned for you, and he's ready and willing to reveal those good things. Acts 10:34 tells us that God is no respecter of persons, so what he has done for one, he will certainly do for you. Why? Because he loves you endlessly. Our phone lines will be opened for the next hour. The number is 772-485-9098. That's 772-485-9098. Our email address is victorylife.aa@gmail.com. And our website is victorylifeministries.org, where you can find testimonies, audio teachings, books by Alan Angie, and upcoming events. Once again, thank you for joining us, and remember, victory is yours through Jesus Christ.
Come let us adore him in this place today.